I'm back.
And I'm better than ever. Ladies and gentlemen, part of Wrestle Attic Radio, the host, a Brace for Impact, Nate, the effing great. What a month it's been, ladies and gentlemen. Honestly, the last couple months have been pretty crazy. So I wanted to kind of do a couple things. I wanted to basically talk about where I've been the last month, talk about some wrestling, because that's what the show is all about, and also make a special announcement concerning the Game Changer podcast. And honestly, it's really good news. So tune into that. For those that might have noticed over the last few weeks, I have not been posting any episodes, and it was because I was involved in a production here in my state of Wisconsin, and it was called Noses Off, which is essentially a show within a show where you have all of these characters working together to put on a show that was called Nine Little Indians, although somebody wanted to be politically correct and call it Nine Little Native Americans, to each their own. So this show is basically one of those shows where everything can go wrong. And you might have guessed it, everything does go wrong. I played a character of Marvin, who was somebody who was very, I'm trying to think of the right word for it, very finicky about the play, because he spent an entire week memorizing the whole thing. So he knows line for line what's going down. He knows what his lines are, what his crew members are. So there's a lot of times where he's stepping on their lines, saying his lines. It creates for a very chaotic mess, to say the least. We had three performances this past weekend, and all three of them were practically sellout shows. And it's been one of the greatest experiences of my life. And I really do mean that, because I got to work with an amazing cast, and I got to work with an amazing, phenomenal director, Cindy Strobel, who I have called Mama Cindy for so long. And theater company I worked for was River and Woods Theater, which is a smaller theater company that works more with smaller venues. So we have a place called the Grand Theater here, which can pack up to maybe hundreds of people in there. And this group, we were able to sell out every show that we had. And roughly, I would say we had combined maybe about 100 people at the show. It could have even been more, but this is just going off of my knowledge from what I know. And every aspect of this show was phenomenal. We had, like I said, great cast, worked off with everybody very well. We had certain people that I had great chemistry with. And I got the chance to do not only a comedic role, but I get to be such a drama king. I'm going to say that right now. There were times where I got the chance to be over-exaggerated with some of my emotions, where I got to do some physical comedy, which I have not done in a long time. And I will also say this, I almost felt like I was in a wrestling class, and it was basically creating a character and presenting it to an audience. And that's one of the most wrestling things I can say about this show, is that there are times where I had to make sure that this character got the right reaction from the crowd. Even a reaction from the crowd was what I really needed. And there were times where during the show, some of us got lost. Some forgot their lines and just had to help each other out. So we all, as a collective unit, found a way to really make the show unforgettable. They were all phenomenal shows, and I'm looking forward to sharing it with everybody when we get the chance to. I've asked one of the cast mates who recorded every performance if I could get a copy of each of those shows, and I'm going to hopefully post them on the Game Changer Podcast YouTube channel, hopefully before the month is over. And one of the things I will definitely preface this is that you'll notice that there's always something different about each show, whether it's the feeling within the crowd, whether it's how we deliver our lines, there's always something different. So keep that in mind when you're watching this, because no two performances are ever the same, and they shouldn't be. But every single one of them was special in their own way. So I want to take this time to say to the cast members, I've already gotten the chance to write a post, let them know how grateful I am to be working with them, tell them each how much they meant to me during this show. And to Cindy and to Mary, who was the costume designer, who really helped motivate us to be the best that who we were meant to be, I thank you guys so much. And I am looking forward to doing a future show with everyone, if not most of them. So I will say this, that this show was a lot of fun. It definitely took a lot of time. And that's one of the reasons why I am not going back into it full time. I am definitely planning on doing one, maybe two shows a year. But I definitely do want to get back into that, because I really love the amount of time that's put in to create an amazing show. I always love the feedback that we got. We had so many people say this is one of the funniest shows that they had ever seen. And there were so many people that were saying, we want to get more people seeing this show. We want to get people to see this show. We want to have more, you know, butts filled in the seats. And that says a lot. And I've gotten some positive feedback as well, not only from castmates, but also from audience members, who some have said that I was their favorite part of the show. There were some that said that I had some of the best lines. There were some people that said that they really were worried about certain parts of my performances. There's a part where it, you know what, I'm not going to spoil too much about the show, because you have to see it. You just have to see it. So I really do enjoy hearing the positive deal, and having that connection with people, talking to them face to face, is always something that's really special. And I could never ask for a better show or work for a better community than that. Art recognizes art, and I'm grateful that I was a part of something majestic and something amazing. As Tristan would say, yeehaw. So, like I said, I will definitely get the performances up before the month is over. All three of them will be up, so that way you'll have three performances to look at any time that you like. All right, so now I can talk about wrestling for me in the last month. So it will not be TNA. That will continue with the next episode. I haven't had a chance to even sit down, because I've also been taking time to work around some items around the house and also work with rehearsals, but also get the chance to reconnect with some of my members of my family, because that is something that has been long overdue. I really want to try and be a better person in this family, and I definitely want to have a bigger impact, especially on my nephews. And I really, truly believe that I'm doing the best that I can, and I'm going to be the best, as we call it, fun uncle, the funkle, that I can be. So as far as wrestling goes, guys, I will talk about three things. I will talk about three wrestling shows. I will talk about two independent shows that I had the chance to go to, and talk about WrestleMania a bit. I know this is a show where it's mainly talking about TNA, and TNA has a lot that they have going on right now, but I definitely want to take a time to put that off to the side and talk more about the greatness that is Wisconsin Pro Wrestling, as well as WrestleMania, because each of these shows hit me very hard in a different way. First thing we'll talk about is Raging Pro Wrestling, which was a few weeks ago, honestly. And I went with my friend Colton Wildcat, and we had a fun time. We had to see some great matches. I have a new favorite tag team now in the independent scene called Heroes of Our Time, acronym HOOT. That is not an exaggeration. That is legit what they were. I even asked them, you do realize that your team name in acronym is HOOT, right? And they're like, oh yeah, we know, and we go for it. It's like, that's awesome. But the thing that stood out to me most about Raging Pro Wrestling was the women's match that they had on the show. It was Heather Reckless versus Maggie Lee. Now, I don't know if these ladies have faced off against each other in the past, or if this was their first going, or what, but something about this, they clicked so hard, and their chemistry worked. It was absolutely amazing watching this. It started off slow, but then time just went by, and the action picked up. And for a moment, it did feel like time kind of slowed down, but in a really good way, because you didn't want this matchup to end. I think there was even a chant of fight forever during this matchup. To kind of give you guys perspective, Heather Reckless, for those of you that don't know, you need to look her up. She is absolutely amazing. She is about 4'9". So having her face somebody who is at least over 6 feet tall, I would say 6 foot, 6'1", 6'2", I want to say. She's a pretty tall girl. Just the size difference between the two of them is insurmountable. And they put on one hell of a match. I would dare say one of the best women's matches I have seen in Wisconsin. Honestly, it may even be one of my favorite women's matches ever. And I wish I could say that's an understatement. It's not. It's one of those things where I really love watching these women create a magical matchup and creating something that was just unforgettable. Really enjoyed it. It was just absolutely amazing. I really loved the chance I got to meet up also with somebody who I worked with that show one time, Ben Trust, who has been killing it on his independent scenes. Definitely check him out, Benjamin Trust. The guy literally looks like he is just made out of granite. He looks absolutely amazing, and he wrestles so well. So that was really cool to have. All right, go from that to APW, which is All Pro Wrestling, and this show hits me harder because not only do I get to watch more wrestling, but I also got the chance to reconnect with some people that I have lost contact with. That being Robbie Rebel and Matthias, two guys that I've worked with in a four-way matchup last year. And to go there and to see them, talk to them, reconnect, it is one of the greatest things, honestly, that I could ever ask for, because these are two guys who are very talented. They are two guys that I have loads of respect for in ring, and they create some memorable matches, honestly. So these are two guys that I really, really enjoyed getting the chance to reconnect. I got the chance to also reconnect with Kota Jacobs, probably one of the most politically correct wrestlers in all of wrestling, honestly. And I'm saying that with full confidence because I have not seen anybody even come close to replicating that. Kota Jacobs is the man. He's the man with a plan, and it's to make wrestling better. Got the chance to also reconnect with TW3, who at the time of this recording, we are still working on the possibility of getting the chance to work with him and train under him. Now, for a lot of people, there are people that have said that I have no training whatsoever. That is a bold-faced lie. I have had on and off training for years, honestly, going back to at least 2009, 2010, I want to say. Because I worked with some people here in Wisconsin, and all throughout the years, I've gone to different promotions to do tryouts, training up deals. And as of late, I've also had some, I'm not going to say training, but I would say more coaching from people like Vel Mystico, who was pretty big in Texas and was a graduate of Booker T's training school, who has definitely wanted to work with me and get me better in the ring, as well as Xavier Michaels here in Wisconsin, and honestly, I'd still call him a legend here in Wisconsin, that being Alkias King, who I worked with last August. And we had, honestly, what one of my friends actually called, and I actually think it's the perfect way of putting it, the most beautifully majestic garbage match that you could possibly ever see. And there's a lot of people that would probably say, like, you know, it's a disgrace, it's horrible. I have no regrets about that matchup, because our job was to go there, put on a great matchup, and get the crowd entertained. And we did everything that we could to make sure that those people were entertained. So when it comes to that matchup, I have no issues with it. The event itself, it's had its issues, it's had its ups and downs. There's a time and a place to talk about that. Now is not that time. So when it comes down to it, I know that I'm going to need more training, and I am going to get more training, and it will be an honor to work with whoever trains me. One thing I've always been told, listen, because they know more than you do. No doubt about that. So in addition to reconnecting with some people, meeting some of the other wrestlers, one was Aries Creed, the tag team of Ghetto Gear Solid. I was literally amazed at how two big guys just work so well and can be so vastly entertaining. And I say that because these are two bigger guys that literally went up to an elderly woman, and they are just gyrating. They are just dancing like, oh yeah, you want this, you want this. And I was on the ground laughing because they were just so freaking entertaining. Nick Pride was another guy that I remember. I believe it was Johnny Cass, I believe was his name, who I had him picking to win a six-way matchup, and he got eliminated immediately, which made me so sad. Matthias took on a superstar, Steve Stardom, and honestly, I feel like I've seen that guy before, but the way that he looked, where he had like maybe almost like five different outfits on him, I was like, this is probably not the same guy. Probably not. But the main event was a three-way match to determine the APW Women's Champion. It was between Claire Onyx, Sue Young, and Leva Bates, who I got the chance to do a meet and greet with Leva as well as Sue Young beforehand. Both of them are absolute sweet people. Now, I will say this. When Sue Young was in her character, she scared the shit out of me. And one of the craziest things I think that has ever happened to me, and I am not kidding, is that there came a point where she was just getting elbowed by Leva and Blair. Sue Young just literally getting dazed. As soon as Blair and Leva are going for like a double elbow to her, Sue Young literally just walks, just kind of like goes to me, and she just comes up to me and she just hugs me almost like in a daze. And I'm literally sitting there selling it like, what is this? Because I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to hurt that character. I don't want it to be a situation where, you know, I do this and people are going to be like, oh, wow, they know each other. It's like, no, I'm like, oh, no, I don't know why this is happening to me. And it's one of those moments I will never forget. The match itself ended with Leva Bates winning the women's championship. And I was so elated, but also very, very scared, because one of the things that she said as soon as she won that title, she looked directly at me, pointed at me, and said, you owe me an ice cream cake. And I'm like, shit, I do. Because I told her earlier in the night, it's like, hey, you win tonight, I will get you an ice cream cake. Why an ice cream cake? Because she did a cameo and she mentioned ice cream cake. And the way that she just talks about it, it's one of those things where it's like, you know what? She loves ice cream cake. I get it. And the fact that she is definitely holding me to my word to getting her an ice cream cake, that should tell you more than enough. So seeing that and seeing those three women going out there and killing it, they did an absolutely amazing. It's amazing that I'm talking about two wrestling shows in Wisconsin, and the women's division here is so, so stacked. I mean, Heather Reckless, Maggie Lee, Sue Young, Leva Bates, Blair Onyx, Leslie Muñeca is another one that's on here. Crystal White, I know, is another woman that travels a lot through here. There's just so many great women that are in wrestling right now, and I am so happy that I get the chance to see a lot of them in Wisconsin. It's absolutely great. So when it comes to it, you guys, if you have an indie show, go out there, show your support, buy their merch, take a photo with them, create a memory with them. For me, I was able to pass out 10 flowers to 10 women throughout the span of those two shows. And I made some days and I brought smiles to faces. That is something I always want to do in life, is bring smiles. Because when you do that, you feel good because you made somebody forget about any troubles, anything that may have been bad in their life, and they can take a moment and just feel happiness. And that is something I really long to do. And that's what I'm going to continue to do in my life. So it was a really wonderful month for that. And then we have it capped off, especially that's what's really cool about this, is that this is how I started my vacation off, with WrestleMania. Two night event, got the chance to sit down, watch the show, and I also got the chance to listen to it on our Discord with Zach from Young Lions Perspective and Fretz from the Fretzelmania podcast. I love you guys. This has always been great to do. I'm looking forward to the future shows that we do on the Discord. So by all means, guys, get a chance to look at our Discord, sign up for it, and hey, you'll get that chance to be a part of some great conversations. We've definitely been trying to get the streaming deal to work. For WrestleMania, it just did not work for some reason. I don't know why, but it just did not work. So hopefully we'll get those bugs taken care of for future streams. It was just that for WrestleMania, it just didn't work. And I'm really sad to see that. All right. But WrestleMania as a whole, one of the things that I think a lot of people have said, that this was probably the best WrestleMania of all time. There's still some people that still say WrestleMania 17 is the best. And you can make an argument for both cases. One was in the span of one night. One was in a span of two nights. One had excellent matches with great storytelling. The other one had some matches that were definitely concluding a great era, but starting a new one. And honestly, you can make the case for both of them now that I think about it. Because at this year's WrestleMania, we had some great women matches in here. Gosh, that's at least three great matches on there. I will definitely say the six woman tag there, where we had Naomi, Jade, and Bianca taking on Damage Control. And the fact that those six women had a really good matchup was great. Having Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley still have a really good matchup. Arguably, the best women's matchup on the weekend was Bayley versus Io Sky because of the great story that they told there. There's been some mixed reactions I've heard since when it comes to the Uso matchup. I actually love that matchup. I really think that it was a really good matchup. It's probably the second best, in my opinion. Some people have said, like, oh, wow, this matchup makes Jeff and Matt look like Owen versus Brett. I wouldn't go that far. I really wouldn't. And I even got the chance to watch Brett and Owen. I will definitely stick with that statement that somebody said, this is the best WrestleMania opener. I agree. I watched that matchup, and I'm like, there's nothing that can touch this. This is too damn good. But as far as brother versus brother, it's still Brett and Owen for me, Jimmy and Jay, and then Matt and Jeff. That is my ranking on it, and I still enjoyed Jimmy versus Jay. I think that was a good matchup. The ladder match went as to be expected. We got new tag team champions on both fronts. What's really funny is that Fretz actually called Grayson Waller and Austin Theory winning the SmackDown tag team titles. And it was one of those moments where I'm like, oh my God, this is not happening. I was in shock. It was probably the most shocking deal that took place at WrestleMania. Discounting the stuff that happened in the main event of night two. What happened at night one was perfect. Everything that went there went the way that it should have been. It stacks the odds against Cody. It makes the most sense. The world title matchup, you have Drew McIntyre versus Seth, who have a great chemistry with each other. Drew won, but then CM Punk cost him the world title via cash-in from Damian Priest, who is now the new world heavyweight champion. That's a crazy thing to think. But at the same time, it's one of those things where, like, thank you. We at least don't have to worry about that briefcase or Damian Priest, you know, holding that on or holding it on until it expired. I think that was my main concern. You had Gunther's reign ended by Sami Zayn. I still think it should have been Chad Gable that did it. But at the same time, I'm not going to knock Sami Zayn for getting a WrestleMania moment, a singles moment at WrestleMania, because he had that great main event with the Usos and Kevin Owens last year. And then he had a great matchup with Gunther this year. So I'm looking forward to seeing what Sami does with the title in the future. And we already know that Gunther's going to be on the right path to win the world title. In all honesty, I see it literally being him putting on barn burner after barn burner after barn burner with heavyweight heavyweight title contenders. And then he will probably win the title by the time Bash in Berlin happens. Because I don't think it's going to happen at Clash at the Castle. I think that they're definitely going to have Drew win the belt back, but then Gunther defeats Drew. I truly believe that's what's going to happen. And if they run back Sami Zayn versus Gunther at WrestleMania, cool. There's a story there. Maybe it would make the match outcome a little more predictable, but at the same time, again, who cares? It's wrestling. Tell a right story. You're going to get us invested. I think if there's any other matches here that really kind of stood out that I really loved. The main event of night two. There's a reason why I saved that for last. This matchup, I would argue, was the weaker of the two. And the way that it ended, it made the year-long wait worth it. Because last year, when I think it was Ricky, Zach, and Fretz, along with myself, watched that, I was so pissed that Cody Rhodes did not finish the story then and there. But the fact that he did finish his story at this WrestleMania made it all worth it. And I looked back at it, and I remember just crying because I was so happy for Cody that he's the new WWE champion. And the story is right there. There are so many layers to this that it was just absolutely incredible. You have Roman and Cody picking up where they left off last year. You have the Bloodline getting involved. You have Solo. You have Jimmy getting involved, but they're getting neutralized by Jey Uso, who takes out Jimmy. And then you have John Cena taking out Solo Sikoa. Then you have The Rock come out and neutralize John Cena. And then, oh, here's the Shield music. And some people are thinking it's going to be Jon Moxley, to which I thought, if that happens, Tony Khan is actually a genius to get some kind of deal working with Triple H. But it didn't happen. It was Seth Rollins. And Fretz made a very astute observation where he said, how the hell did Seth Rollins get his hair looking like the Shield again that quickly? It's a fair question. I don't know how he did it, but he did it, and it was just crazy to think. And the final nail in Rock's coffin was the appearance of The Undertaker. I would have preferred it to be Stone Cold, but at the same time, nostalgic wins every time. And I think that was great to see that. Roman and Cody picked up where they left off. Cody hitting a thrice of Crossroads, 1, 2, 3, wins the title. He's celebrating with everybody. You just see everybody just coming in, whether it was Brandy, friends, fam, just so many great people going in there and just congratulating them. Cody then decided to go off script and say, hey, I want to thank two people, and that being Bruce Pritchard and Triple H. And I know that they would not like to do this, but I'd like for them to come out and basically accept their flowers. So they came out. They got a nice moment with Cody. One thing that somebody pointed out during a video was that as Roman and Paul are going up to the rampway, the two of them have a nice conversation, and then they hug. And one of the things I remember from Paul's induction speech is that Roman Reigns said, without the wise man, there is no tribal chief. And that hits so much harder now. So really cool to see Cody Rhodes get his moment, get his WrestleMania. It was well worth the wait. I will briefly talk about the Paul Heyman induction speech, which was to perfection. Only Paul Heyman can do what Paul Heyman can do. And I understand why they had him start off, because they knew that he was going to go over. They didn't want to lose that time. So it's just one of those things where I would have much rather save it for the main event. But I'm happy that Paul Heyman got to talk about his legacy, talk about some advice that he could give to his kids and to the wrestling nation, to anybody that wanted to get into wrestling and who was going to be a future star in wrestling. It really does hit hard knowing how much Paul Heyman has given into this company and given into wrestling. And he definitely deserved this Hall of Fame induction. I am so happy for him, and I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with the now Hall of Famer Wise Man has in store in the future. So this is a shorter rendition of Brace for Impact. It's going to be a shorter episode. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. Before I get to my announcements, I want to tell you guys to definitely get the chance. Go to our Twitter account on X, also known as Twitter. I do not want to call it X because that's stupid. And go to @_wrestle. Give us a follow. On there, you'll have links to all of our amazing deals, whether it's our Discord, our Instagram, Patreon, so many different ways that you can follow us and support us, including checking out our merch gear. Definitely support us by going over there, choosing something. It could be something as simple as like a coffee mug. If you can just show your support, that would be very much appreciated. And it's one of the things that I definitely will hold in high gratitude for. So do that. You'll check out the other shows that are part of WrestleTic Radio, which are the Young Lions Perspective, the Kings of the Rings podcast, and the Fretzelmania podcast. All three are absolutely phenomenal shows created by absolutely amazing people that love wrestling as much as anybody else. I'm very thankful that I am a part of this wrestling family, a family that was started by Anthony DiStefano. I know he probably would not like to hear his name being put on here, but I'm still going to put him over and say that Ant is one of those guys who, without him, this would not be possible. I want to say thank you. I know that he's got a lot going on in his life. He's got his own YouTube channel where he talks about Disney, even going to Disney. It's absolutely amazing seeing that. So, Ant, to you, to your family, I say thank you. I love you, man. Hope to talk to you soon. To everybody at WrestleTic Radio, I say thank you again for putting up with me, especially during this past month and a half of me being absent. Really do appreciate it. And you're going to get the better end of Nate the Effing Great. I can promise you that. So, with that being said, this is the big announcement. The Game Changer podcast is coming back, and I am being 100% serious about this. I know in the past I've said that and nothing's happened. This is truly happening. By the time this episode has been released, the newest episode will be recorded and it will be released by the end of this week. It will not be a part of the WrestleOtic Radio feed. So for the Game Changer podcast deal, you will have to go to a different feed. I'll definitely put that in the link. And one of the things that's going to be great about it is that it's going to be a pilot episode with returning Victory Bell, a.k.a. Corey Clark, one of my former co-hosts. We're going to be sitting down talking about how the podcast came to be, why it kind of ended so, I guess, abruptly, and what really sparked the return of the Game Changer podcast, as well as what you guys can expect in future episodes. So the Game Changer podcast is going to be making a comeback. It is going to be on a different streaming deal than WrestleOtic Radio. But if you go to a lot of the streaming services, you will find us. So with that being said, I've been Nate the Effing Great. You can follow me on a lot of different social media deals by entering at Real FN Game. And there are a lot of good things coming in the future, you guys. One thing I should probably promote this too. In May, I will have a booth for ACW Water City Wrestling Con. So definitely come on over there, take a few photos with the belts that I'm going to have up there. We're going to be bringing back the belt ops. We're also going to be doing some pictures with the banana character in wrestling, because much people don't want to admit it, he was still relevant in wrestling and he was still very entertaining. So you got that. Got some belts. I'll have some DVDs as well as some shirts that will be available for purchase. So I want to say again, thank you guys for your support. A lot of great things coming up. Take care of yourself. Be safe. Be smart. And always be respectful. Thank you guys so much for Brace for Impact, WrestleOtic Radio. I've been Nate the Effing Great. I'll see you guys real soon.